Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, even on a not dusty day. This is smoke in the air. It smells like a big barbecue out there. California's having a monster barbecue right now. We weren't invited, but that's okay. That's okay. I didn't see anything in the news about it. Does anybody know where this is? This big fire? I assumed it was Cal, too, but... Wild. Oh, dear Lord. As long as we don't have another 2020. That whole state was on fire that day. There was this thing I saw in the newspaper when I was a kid in California, and it was this family leaving California in like a station wagon, kind of like that Chevy Chase movie, you know, Vacation. And they're all leaving, and they say, "We survived the floods, we survived the fires and the earthquakes, but we won't stay around for the locusts." So it was kind of like one of these funny things, kind of biblical vibe going on. Well, this morning I'm going to have you prepare your Bibles for Genesis 17. And we are going to look at Genesis 17, 1 through 9. And since this morning we're speaking about fathers, who here's a dad? Where are the dads? We have dads. Now I have a question for you. Who here had a spiritual dad over you, whether it be your biological dad or a godly man in your life? Don't you love godly men? Don't you love them? We mentioned this morning Pastor Dave Childers and his wife, but I have to tell you, Pastor Dave became my spiritual dad in 1999. My dad, I kind of lost when I was 17 when my parents split up. They went their separate ways, and I was kind of on my own at 17. I have to say, my dad gave me a wonderful message in a Bible that he sent me to Las Vegas in. When I moved to Vegas, I had this wonderful Bible with this little inscription. But for the most part, when my parents did that split up thing, I was kind of on my own at 17. So we'll call that 1991. Until 1999, I was kind of without a spiritual dad until I met Pastor Dave. But the cool thing is, there would have been no Pastor Dave, and most of you don't know Pastor Dave's father, Pastor Paul, but there would be no Pastor Dave unless there was a Pastor Paul. And Paul was a cool guy. Here I was, a young, sinful man. Any of us remember those days? A young, sinful man pulled in all directions, on and on, temptation, all the wrong decisions, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to bore you. And when Pastor Paul would see me, even whatever he was in his 80s or something, he would pull up in this big, I don't know, it's like one of those old classic American big boats, you know, like an Oldsmobile or something, and the door would open, and just like Dirty Harry, all of a sudden you see this boot come out. I mean, it was cool. He would just have this cool, polished, big boot, and he would get out of the car, and he'd look at me, and he'd go, "Well, praise God." Pastor Paul was awesome. I would go to Promise Keepers, and he would talk about all these different subjects for building up godly men. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I began to think, as I looked in Genesis, by the time we get to 17, we really start learning about Abraham, who becomes a father of a lot of kids. I only have two. Thank God. I have two kids, and I remember my son when he was born. It started off with chaos. The kid, he comes out, he's born, he's not breathing. Janice trying to see him. They're rushing him over to a table. He's not breathing. He's turning blue and purple. He's just, there's nothing going on. They grab one of these little mask things with like a ball of air, and they're trying to get him to rev him up. And I even heard the nurse say, "Come on, little guy. Come on, little guy. Come on, little guy." I did one of these things where I just moved in front of Janice's line of view so she couldn't see what was happening. And I thought, "Dear Lord, please no. Please no." Then the kid never slept. Once he started breathing, that child didn't sleep for 2 years. And I told Jana, "How are we still alive? How are we living?" But that was my beginning with being a dad for the first time. Then our daughter was born 2 years later, totally opposite. When was this child ever awake? sleeping nonstop. And I said, Lord, bless you. Bless you. Breathing immediately and always asleep. That was lovely. But when you think about it, that's just a little bit of drama with two kids. Abraham had two kids too. He started off with Ishmael and he had Isaac, but then it got even bigger. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that today. So this is something that I want us to look at this morning. And it's Genesis 17, 1 through 9. And it says in my Bible, the covenant of circumcision. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Bless the giving of your word, Lord. May we forever contemplate what you are saying to your people here today. In the name of Jesus, change us. Amen. Amen. So this is an interesting story of one of the most important fathers in all of human history. Isn't this a moment? You remember that song? Father Abraham had many sons. We remember the song. He literally became the father of multitudes. And that's exactly what we're going to honor today. The fathers that God has given to this world. Amen? For God's glory. What we do is for God's glory. All of the fathers that God has established. Today, we may have our own children or we may not. But let us also include those who have become spiritual fathers to others. Have you mentored anybody, men of God? Have you ever had a mentorship going on where you are just really trying your best to invest in somebody? Don't underestimate the power of God in one of those moments. Amen? Because it's very, very powerful. God sends us to teach people what? The good news, the gospel of Jesus. And what good news did he bring Abraham? He told him, you're going to have a child at 99 years old. Oh, dear Lord. What kind of news is that, honey? No. I consider myself 51 and done. But is that what the Lord has planned? Ooh, the Lord had different plans for Abraham, did he not? And Abraham thought, oh, this is wonderful. Now that my body's 100 years old, am I really going to be having kids? And the Lord's like, yep. Oh, man. I kind of feel for this guy. But today, what I want us to think about is that covenant that God made with Abraham. Because it's a covenant that actually comes down through the ages, amen, to those that are fathers to others. One of the greatest fathers in biblical history definitely is Abraham. And chapter 17 begins in a very special way. It says that the Lord appeared to Abraham. Do you remember, men of God, when God first appeared to you? Were you always serving the Lord? Was that you? You just wake up, yeah, I'm there. I made it. No, God literally breaks into our lives, does he not? We prayed that over our children's lives this morning when Jan and I were driving here. Lord, reveal, unveil, be involved, crash into the lives of those. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what we have to think about. The Lord appeared to Abraham, and not only that, he spoke to him. We must have hearts that are open to hear what the Lord is saying. Am I right? We have to have the hearts that are open, not closed. We have to have the walls removed, the bricks come tumbling down, whatever it is, like Jericho. We can't have closed up hearts. And very often that's what the devil tries to do, is close hearts. But we must remember, when God speaks, our heart must be open. Hallelujah. So I tell you, fathers today, those that are here, and you might even be mentoring someone, I tell you today, because God has appeared in your life too, just like he did in the life of Abraham, never underestimate the importance of your role in someone else's life. Amen? Never underestimate that. Because forever, and you can underline that, I did on my notes, forever God promises to be with us. Hallelujah. How often in life do you get forevers? You ever... You know, sometimes, like this morning, I woke up on my Coffee Bean app and it said, today only, buy one, get one free for Father's Day. You know how lovely it'd be if forever I got buy one, get one free. Instead of $14, I'm spending seven. Oh, hallelujah, forever. It's not very often you get forever, hallelujah. But forever, God has promised to be with us. And just like Abram, we won't call him Abraham yet, but just like Abram, he speaks into the lives of his people, hallelujah. Has anybody heard from God this week? Let's be honest. Who's heard from him this week? My son heard from him this week. I'm going to tell you about that a little bit later too, because temptation is always there, is it not? But forever, God promises to be in our lives and speaks to us. And when he speaks to us, hallelujah, we are the ones that have been given ears. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that what this thing is for? The Lord gives us ears to listen. In Scripture, God told Abraham that literally he would have descendants as numerous as the stars. For me, two stars is enough. But he told Abraham, as numerous as the stars. What a calling. His call was so big, and I have to tell you this morning, men of God, so is your calling. Important, big, crucial. So important. So much importance is placed on our leadership to lead our families, lead our wives, lead our children, lead those that need a greater relationship with God. So important. And so it is with us that we do not give up. Do you ever feel like giving up? You don't have to raise your hands, guys, if you don't want to. Sometimes I do. You know what I do? I joke around with my family. I say, if I ever disappear, don't come looking for me in Albuquerque with a big beard and a guitar in my hand. That's not me. I always joke around. I remember that from a movie I saw. But I'll tell you one thing. We should never give up. I have so much vacation time at work, it's disgusting. Jana does not. The kids do not. I started dreaming up in next month, July. Where am I going to go? I'm out of here. I hope they're cool with it, but I'm gone. I looked online. I found tickets to Paris. I found tickets to London. I found tickets to Oslo, Norway. $149 each way. If you want to know the airline, come see me after. Unbelievable. It's a flash sale through the 18th. And I was thinking, I'm out of here. I'm like, can you guys make it? I'm sorry, you can't. But I have to tell you something. I started feeling a selfish moment. It's not my fault. I have all this vacation. I have to use it. It's my wellness. Hallelujah. So one lady at work, I didn't tell you this, honey, because I know you'll repeat it later. But I'll tell you anyways. One lady at work said, a vacation on your own? That's weird. So I went home and I said, okay, let me split up my vacation. Who can make the first part and who can make the second part? Well, I'll make sure that I include, you know, some of the players in my family. Honey, I can get you and Kylie. We'll go maybe to Oregon at the end, and I'll take a little ride to Mexico at the beginning, blah, blah. And I started planning out how I'm going to involve my family. But what did I do in my selfish nature initially? I started thinking, I am out of here. But I have to tell you, we're not here to give up, amen? We're here to include, we're here to draw in, we're here to do all these things. God called Abraham to a great directive. And that directive means that he fell down face forward before the Lord because he knew that fathering is truly what? Serving. He knew that it is serving, and serving in a way that you lay down a great legacy of Christianity in our homes, amen? And that doesn't mean just running away when we want to. Hallelujah. Isn't that the truth? But there are a few things I wanted to consider this morning as we look at this passage. By the way, I found this morning. I'm going to read it to you. What makes a good dad? A little boy wrote this one time and said, "Dear God, thanks for giving me a daddy. You knew just what I needed. In case you need to make daddies for other kids, I thought you might like to know what I like best about the one that you sent me. A good dad, one, knows everything, like how to tie my shoes, drive a car. Number two, a good dad is really smart. He knows where the wind goes after it blows through the trees. A good dad, number three, has a forgiving heart for when I mess up. A good dad is loaded with patience, patience, patience. He probably won't need it, but just in case, Lord. A good dad, five, has a comfy lap and a big laugh. You understand about that, don't you? And lastly, a good dad tells me about you and your son." Hallelujah. Your friend, a kid. P.S. I almost left out the best part. A good dad has a real strong arm to catch me when I fall, and he says that you're just like that too. So the first thing I want us to look at this morning as we look at the life of Abraham, there's so much to learn. The first thing is this. God calls, and he called Abraham. He said, "I will exalt you into that status to be the father of many nations." But he calls the exalted fathers to be blameless before him. I'm not blameless, are you? But wait a minute. If we give our lives to Christ, hallelujah, that is the moment that makes us the blameless people of God. Isn't that something? Never again can the devil say, "I own so-and-so because of blah, blah, blah." Isn't that something? Blameless. It's interesting to consider that before Abram hears the sentence, when the Lord says, "Walk before me and be blameless," the Lord actually clarifies something. He says who he is. Before he tells him, "Walk before me, be blameless," he says, "I am God Almighty." Who does the work here? God Almighty. Hallelujah. Made mistakes. Lots of mistakes, a few mistakes, moderate mistakes. God is the one that makes us blameless. Hallelujah. In other words, be blameless, and we are to walk before the Lord God Almighty. To be blameless means to be innocent. Do you always feel innocent? Isn't this funny? Do you also feel like you're without guilt? I sometimes remember this moment too. And that's exactly what the cross of Jesus Christ has won for each and every one of us today. Innocence and guiltless. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? You are forever. There are no forevers in this world very often, but with God there are. You are forever innocent of the sin charges that are against you. Isn't that amazing? Where are my sinners today? One time, a taxi cab driver, I'm driving into the wind, and a taxi cab driver just gunned it for that little taxi tunnel hole, and boom, hit each other. And I'll never forget, when I went in, I sued them, because my car was crashed, my knee was hurt, I hurt my neck, and I filed a lawsuit. But when the taxi cab company, they sent their lawyer to kind of come after me, he must have done some digging, and he says, "You're a minister of the gospel, aren't you, Mr. Martinez? So you cannot lie." And I said, "Oh, yeah, that's you nailed it, dude. I cannot. I'm called not to lie. You shall not lie." And then he said, "And the truth is, you don't like my client, do you?" I thought, I don't even know this guy. He's like, "This man is just trying to come to America He's trying to forge a life, and you don't like people that come from out of this country and try to make new lives here, do you? And I thought, this guy is loco. But I have to tell you, when the judge ruled in my favor, I realized I have no guilt. I am not guilty of anything. I am innocent, and I just prevail. But sometimes the charges can come at us falsely, amen. Sometimes we can put our own false charges against ourselves and remember our past and everything else that we do as humans. Forever, we are released from the past guilt, hallelujah, because of the cleansing blood at Calvary. But sometimes we want to remember our old sins. Does that happen to you or is it just me? I would say just 3 days ago, I remembered something terrible I did as a kid. It just popped into my head. Does that happen to you or is it just me? And I remember to tell myself, thank God for forgiveness, the cleansing blood of Jesus. Who put that into my mind? Could it be the enemy? It's very plausible. Could it be my own mind still feeling guilt? Very, very plausible. But I tell you one thing, forever innocent, forever, hallelujah, released from guilt. We need to release ourselves, amen? If God has. So God knew that to be an effective father, we must obey in every way. This is the legacy that Abraham laid down, and it should be our legacy, a legacy of obedience. And that's the easy part. No, it's not. Is it easy to be obedient? It's not, is it? If it comes easy to you, spread that. Hallelujah. But if Abraham, when you think about it, if he disobeyed and the covenant was abandoned because he made a covenant with him, they would find themselves cut off from God's blessing that flows from the Father. And may we never find ourselves there, because we need to choose to show the example of a blameless life before God Almighty. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes, but you correct them and show what leadership really is. I just did the wrong thing. Let me tell you why, because God's word said I should have, and this is what we model, hallelujah. The only way to leave a lasting legacy is to be an incredible example, hallelujah, in your family, just as Abraham showed his monstrous family. So may we walk before the Lord blameless today, hallelujah. The second thing I wanted to mention this morning is this. Like Abraham, we are called to be fathers to many. The Lord didn't just give me little Ryan and little Kylie. Isn't that the truth? He has called me to spread the gospel of his son Jesus to those that God puts in my life. Hallelujah. He drops people in my life all the time. Doesn't he do it with you too? People will come to you all the time. I'm just reminded today, our sweet little next door neighbor, probably about 80 years old, Barbara, all of a sudden she's missing. I didn't see her again. Where is Barbara? So I start calling hospitals, I start calling a couple different places, can't find her anywhere. Lo and behold, we found out she was actually hit by a vehicle, cracked her hip, cracked her shoulder, hit her head, gushed, and she's in a rehab center. I told her this morning, we will pray for her. Let's do it now. Father, for little Barbara, we just ask you, Lord, for a quick healing, restoration, that you have further good things to do with her life, Lord, that you are in the details, Lord God. Let her hip heal, her shoulder heal, the stitches on the forehead, the gash, let it all heal. Let her be restored and return to us as our neighbor, as you see fit, Lord, in your timing, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are called to be fathers to many. Hallelujah. Isn't that the truth? I could be a spiritual father to an 80-year-old next door. You never know what the Lord has planned. Hallelujah. God confirmed his covenant with Abraham, and he said he would greatly increase his numbers. God will increase our numbers too. Hallelujah. He will bring people to our hearts. So huge was the increase that Abram couldn't even carry his own name anymore. God was going to change his name. He went from Abram, which meant exalted father, to Abraham, which meant father of many. He could do that with our name too, amen? I could go from Rye to Ryan. Whatever you want to do, add some extra letters like you did with Abraham. You know that you are going to be a father to many when you serve the Lord, because He will send those to you. He does the increase. He went from being the father of Isaac and Ishmael to being the father of multitudes. And God knew that that legacy would pass down and increase. So I tell you, it's no different for us. God will pass down His goodness through our lives and cause an increase for His kingdom. Amen? Every time we tell someone about Jesus Christ and we bring them into the family of God, that's one less that the kingdom of hell will have. You can affect the population of hell by grasping people for God's kingdom. Isn't that phenomenal when we think about it? Sinners to saints, hallelujah. We're called to be fathers to many, spiritual mentors, fathers to people, bearers that love Jesus and bear the cross, witnesses in our workplace, amen? And that's not always easy, but I have to tell you, it's worth it, hallelujah. The Lord makes us father to many. My friend John Corus, who passed away in L.A., he's a gentleman that I took his spot in at that Rolex store in Los Angeles. I'll never forget when we went to his memorial service, this gorgeous house in Bel Air, up in the hills, overlooking. I mean, when you look down, you could see all of Los Angeles. You could see Palos Verdes. You could see the Pacific Ocean on the Santa Monica and the far side. It was spectacular. And the wife, knowing that I had a Bible degree, said, I have a passage of scripture and I want you to read it here today. Everyone that came there, all these fancy folks, fancy Jewish wealthy folks, it's LA, so let me just tell you, it was a plethora of different peoples. I'll say nothing more than that. She gives me the scripture and she says, I want you to read this at John's memorial. And I look at the scripture. She told me, this is the one that I want. And it was Philippians 2:5. And here I am in front of all these fancy sauce, multicultural, multi-religious, multi-lifestyle, everything you could imagine. And here I'm getting up there and I said, all right, let's do it, Lord. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who in being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father. That must be why they wanted to fire me after 3 years, baby. I did it, though, and I made Mary happy. And you know who else I made happy? The Lord. I confessed Jesus as Savior before so many non-believers, Hindus and everything else you could imagine that were there. And praise God that Mary picked that one. But it does mean a lot now that I think about that rough time we had down there. But that's exactly what Jesus says. They hated me first. He said, they will hate me first. He's talking about himself. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We are here to draw people to this service. Amen. To give them Christ Jesus. God didn't allow Abraham only to be the father of Isaac and Ishmael. He called him to the nations. We are called to the nations, amen, no matter where we go. He would make nations, hallelujah. I pray truly that God makes nations even through us, amen. You might not even have a perspective that big, but let me tell you, God can do anything, hallelujah. He is the God of impossible, amen. Have those covenantal plans with the Lord in place, amen. Commit your heart to that covenant that God made with Abraham to be a part of your life. So our third point this morning is this. Fathers, I tell you today to recommit yourselves to the covenant that God has with us. Hallelujah. We are to recommit ourselves. Isn't it good to recommit ourselves to the Lord periodically and just remember, Lord, I am here to serve you in a greater way. Hallelujah. Increase. Abraham's covenant was a covenant that was sealed through circumcision, physical circumcision. A discussion for another time. But I'll tell you, you know how old he was when he had his done? 99. How old was Ishmael? 13. Ouch. But the calling that we have, the covenant that we have, comes through Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's circumcision of the heart. Hallelujah. Our covenant, since Jesus comes, and he says here, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. So our covenant is to walk and live by the Spirit, hallelujah, commit ourselves to be a follower of the Lord in our hearts and in our actions. The outward means nothing, I have to tell you. God looks at what? The heart. Paul is saying that those who have hearts that are right with the Lord are God's chosen. That is the covenant we are to commit ourselves to. There's so many things to think about. Heartfelt devotion and obedience to the Lord. God has a covenant, a special covenant with each of us here, and we are to keep it. So as we close this morning, I wanted to mention just a couple things when you think about this. What is enough? Jesus, amen. When you think sometimes, have you ever had that moment? Is this enough? Am I doing enough? Is this enough? Sometimes we want to go buy something. We look at the money. Right now I'm committing not to charge things on my credit card. Have you ever done that? I put my credit cards on lock recently. And I said, I'm not touching those darn things. And I went and I got myself a little bit of cash. Yes, I got a little bit of money. But sometimes I want to spend it and I go, do I have enough? Let me tell you this. Jesus, even if I don't have this, Jesus is always enough. He's always enough. So we are called to be a Christian man, a Christian godly father to others. Hallelujah. And there's great honor in that. Amen. There's great honor in that. Pastor Paul, when he used to lead, when you're young, there's lots of temptations. And you know, Pastor Paul had a great story one time. We were at Promise Keepers, and it was all about temptation. And here he was with his shiny boots, his boat sitting out there in the parking lot. And he said, when I was a young man, I used to deliver milk. And one time I went to this porch, and before I even made it up the steps, a young lady came out with cookies. And she said, would you like to come in? And he said, you know, the Lord told me right there, Paul, turn around and get out of here. He said, no, ma'am, I can't come in. Here's your milk. I'm gone. And I thought, well, that's a great time in history. At least they're serving cookies back in the day, you know. That's really wonderful. But I have to tell you, it was a lesson to remember that forever I have to stand before the Lord, hallelujah, and be accountable. So what temptation did little Rye have? He's working at the Wynn, up in the spa. All these guys are handing out tips to people. You know, he's showing, giving tours of the gym, giving tours of the spa. I don't know what else he does. Janet probably knows more. He gets whatever the clients need. So this one guy has a $100 bill, and he says to my son, this is for you, bud. And he hands it to my son. Now the kids, or whoever works in the spa, not just kids, when you get a tip, you're required to turn it in to the pool, the tip pool. You don't keep it for yourself. You put it on the pool and it's distributed to those that are working that day. But my son said, Dad, he said to me, this one's for you, bud. And he said, it was in my hands. I felt like the client was telling me, no, this is just for you. And he said, I was so tempted to put it in my pocket. And I said, and what did you do, son? Did you keep it or did you turn it in? He said, I turned it in. I said, you did the right thing. Because you know the expectation of the hotel is that you turn it in. That's the right thing to do. And if you would have kept it, you would have actually been stealing from your peers and from your department. And God's word says, we are not thieves. God's word says, we do not steal. I'm glad you did the right thing. Isn't that true? And when we do the right thing, amen, as examples for the Lord, men that are sitting here, examples for the Lord, when we do the right thing, we are putting people under our guidance and under our leadership and showing them what it's like to be a servant of God. Hallelujah. That's the important part. So these two words imply service on a grand scale, guidance and leadership, which leads to legacy. What kind of legacy do we want to leave behind? Amen? We want one that points to Jesus. So may our influence be as numerous as the stars in heaven and the sand on the sea. Hallelujah. May that be our 100% influence. Abraham kept that covenant with the Lord. And I just wanted to mention this morning before we truly go, godly dads, you know what they do? They make godly decisions. Always do the right. Godly dads love their wives and they treasure their children. Sometimes I have to remember to do that more and more and more in better and new creative ways. I'm not always the most fun guy. I'm not always the guy with a smile on my face. And I have to tell myself to be that person. Amen? Be a little fun, Ryan. Put a smile on. Give a hug. I have to tell myself to do these things. I have to be intentional. It might not always come natural. Amen? Max Lucado, Pastor Max, says, the decision to be a father is not just a delivery room decision. It is a daily decision to be a father. So we renew our daily dad decision to carve time, invest in our families, show what it's truly like to be important in people's lives, and not just our own kids, but those that God has given us. Be involved, be a role model, be loving, and have fun. Amen? I should find a way to do something fun today. My son just wrote me just the cutest Father's Day card last night. He gave it to me, and he said, Dad, I would like to be like you. Wow. Thank you for all you've done. And it just, boom, hit my heart. And then as we were sitting here today, I told myself, you know what? I need to get them new Bibles, and I'm going to write something in there. We'll do it together, babe. I'm going to get our kids new Bibles as they enter their adulthood years and write something in there. Look to Him. Stay close to Him. Learn from Him. Represent Him. Reach out to Him. Praise Him. Talk to Him. Let Him guide you. Be the light. You know Paul Harvey? He tells stories. Paul says that a grandpa named Mr. Gray Baker in Jackson, Mississippi, one time took his 3-year-old grandson Trevor golfing. And Trevor was there by his grandpa's side. He watched him for the entire day. Then the next week, grandpa bought little Trevor his own little fake toy set golf clubs. And Trevor said, I know how to do this. He said, watch me, everybody. He grabs his fake little golf club, and he throws it into a tree. That was the example that he learned from Grandpa Baker. Watch me. So men of God, I tell you this morning, people are watching you all the time. And more importantly, God is watching us, amen? But He's watching us not to condemn. He's watching us to help raise us, amen? To be the godly men with a covenant that flowed down from Abraham into our lives. Hallelujah. So be blessed today, fathers, men of God. And those ladies that are here, pray for godly men every single day. Hallelujah. To stay the course, to not get on an airplane by themselves and go to Europe. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Even when they're tempted to jam. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Amen. He's the best Father, and we all look to Him. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the reminder of your son, Abraham, and the amazing legacy that you've laid down through his life, Lord. May we recommit ourselves, Lord, to that covenant that was given to Abraham, Lord. Be circumcised in our hearts and serve you always. May we be the fathers to many, those that you give us, Lord God. And may we do a wonderful job with whom you've given us, just as we learn from the example of Jesus. Your job, Jesus, was to make sure that not even one of the sheep, hallelujah, is ever lost. So those you've given us, Lord God, may no one ever be lost but be found saved in you through our example of being blameless before you always. And forgive us for the times we fall short, Lord, as we strive to be better all the time. And in Jesus' name, we pray a blessing over the fathers here today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's spend time together, shall we? Let's spend time together. If you need any special prayer, come see us. Be blessed. Happy Father's Day.